Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
Sometimes it's unfortunate, you know, but yep. we'll get into that.
Or it's great. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
And we have different opinions, it sounds like.
This is my birthday episode, Nathan.
Yes, happy birthday, Daniel.
Thank you. This is coming out the day before my birthday.
Yep. And since it's your birthday.
Oh my goodness. What?
I don't have your gift yet, so you get the bird.
Damn.
But yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
You're 32 now.
I know. Getting up there, bro.
Yeah. And then 30.
And what have I done with my life?
Yeah. Mid-30s. You got a life crisis about to happen.
Yeah. If it hasn't already.
You're turning 27, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good age.
That's solid.
I was already reminding myself how old I was turning like this year. So I was already internally like prepared and thought I was 27 already.
Oh, okay.
So
nice.
I'm like, oh, this is 27.
So you gaslit yourself.
Kind of.
Into thinking that everything was worse.
Yeah, because I'm such a narcissist and I keep thinking about my birthday like months in advance, you know? And so like...
So just around the corner.
Yeah. So much fun. It's like Christmas. But we have different time codes our segments in the description. You can jump around, but we start with the news.
Not a huge week.
I thought it was somewhat big. Then we got a Scott Pilgrim anime coming with the original live action cast coming to voice act,
which is wild that they got everybody.
Like I don't think they're
Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead,
Jason Schwartz,
Kieran Culkin. He's busy.
Yeah, he's on Succession.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good for him.
Yeah, no, he's doing fantastic.
Okay, I liked him in Scott Pilgrim. I'm like, he's not in anything else, is he? Chris Evans.
Yeah.
As guy that rides a skateboard.
Yeah. And Superman as other boyfriend.
Yeah. And Aubrey Plaza. All the people. Brie Larson.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot Brie Larson was in that.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It seems like all the cast members talk about it fondly. And so it's cool that they'd come back. But what's even cooler is that Brian Lee O'Malley is like a producer or something on it, which is cool.
I would hope so. Because like the book... Like the art like looks more like an anime style anyway.
It really does.
To where like live action seems kind of bizarre. Like if we were comic book readers at that time.
Yeah.
But no, people like it and I think this is a good idea.
Oh my God. Brian Lee O'Malley streams on Twitch. That's crazy. He like tweeted something that he was like working on it, but I can't remember what he was. It's written by him and some other dude and produced by him and Edgar Wright.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Super cool.
And Grant's awesome.
So, yeah. Big news. That's when we could do
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. That was suggested to us a year ago.
That's probably not coming until like next year.
Yeah. But now we got to wait.
Yep. Got to wait. Got to save it. Sorry, Ben. Or was that his name?
Yeah.
Ben. Sorry, Ben. Nathan. Kind of not really comic news, but you know, Jendy Tartakovsky.
Yeah, love him.
He's got a new show coming out
on
Adult Swim, probably.
Yep, probably.
It's called Unicorn Warriors Eternal, and it looks pretty fucking fun.
That does sound awesome.
And he has made comics, you know, and he also made...
What comics did he make?
He did that one book called Cage, and it has him doing art and writing.
Cool.
Yeah, I've suggested us reading it, and you've... dismiss it every time.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jendy Tartakovsky.
Yeah. And then he also did, you know, that, what was that last thing?
He did Star Wars.
Oh, stuff. Yeah. That one movie.
Yeah. The animated Clone Wars
but
movie.
There's Samurai Jack.
And then Primal.
Primal. I'm like, Eternal?
On HBO.
No, Primal. Was that HBO?
Yeah.
I thought that was.
Yeah. I think it might have been on
Adult Swim,
but they have some Cartoon Network stuff on HBO. So
sick. Nathan, we got tons of trailers.
Yeah, I haven't watched all of them.
Have you watched the Secret Invasion one?
No.
Looks really good.
I know it's going to be really good.
Might be the best Marvel show, like you've been saying.
You were very speculative on it.
Yeah, I'm on board now.
Are you? Wow, that must be a really good trailer.
Yeah, it looks like Marvel's Andor, kind of, you know?
Cool.
Like with how serious it is, I'm like, this looks sick.
Okay, yeah, I told you.
We got a Blue Beetle trailer.
I did see a teaser trailer for the trailer, but I didn't see the trailer.
Looks like a lot of fun, could be bad, but it looks good. Like the...
that's what I gathered from the teaser as well.
The fucking special effects look cool though.
Yeah, I saw where he's making like a big sword.
big sword, and then makes an even bigger sword.
I was like, I love a big sword, so that'll be cool. Yeah, the suit looks a little campy, right?
I think it's gotta be.
Because it's a practical like costume, so it's not nano suit bullshit, whatever that's been going on with Marvel stuff lately.
Is it practical? Oh yeah, it is practical, huh?
Yeah.
They animate like his face, so you like see his jaw moving when he's talking,
okay,
which is kind of bizarre, kind of like a Deadpool.
Yeah.
But so, which I think is fine, you know?
Yeah, I think so. So it's not his mouth moving around and stuff?
It's just like his jaw that you see.
Okay, moving. Gotcha.
Because it's like the face is normally black.
He like...
has lips poking out?
He has lips, and yeah, you can see his mouth.
Maybe there'll be some shots of that.
Yeah, okay.
We got a Spider-Verse across the Spider-Man... across the Spider-Verse trailer.
I heard that there were like pretty big spoilers in it, kind of, or like there's a lot that they reveal. And so I kind of want to go in as blind as I possibly can.
I thought there was already a trailer.
There was.
Okay. That was like a teaser. This is a real trailer. I didn't really see any spoilers. Maybe I wasn't looking hard enough.
Okay.
But that's cool.
Was it exciting?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
And Nathan, biggest news of the week.
Okay.
Paddington is getting a third movie. It's called Paddington in Peru.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
That's insane.
And it starts filming in July, Nathan.
Is it going to film in Peru? Because there's like civil war going on right now.
maybe in other parts. He's in Peru, Nathan. How are they going to not film it in Peru?
How are they going to have a civil war if Paddington's there?
And all the Peru. Yeah, I know. What if he stops the civil war?
Stop the civil war in Peru. That's crazy.
I thought that was just so bizarre, but I'm so excited.
He's going to go to Machu Picchu?
Maybe.
He's going to say hi to some llamas?
He's going
to
try some of that, like, I don't know, food we had that one time? What's some Peruvian food?
Guiso de quinoa.
Yeah, he's going to have some quinoa.
Yeah, it's my favorite dish.
Yeah. That
my girlfriend makes. Who's Peruvian?
So
that is big news. Yeah.
I'm excited for you to tell her.
I'm going to film it, probably. I don't think either of us have seen Paddington, like,
Neither have I.
I haven't seen either of the movies.
But its cultural significance makes it better.
It is. I still follow that guy that photoshops Paddington into a movie or TV show every single day. Something like that.
Yeah.
But he's like my favorite Twitter account.
Yeah, I like all of his pictures.
The series is I photoshop Paddington into a movie or TV show every day until I forget. And we're like nearing 500, I'm pretty sure. 500
days. Yeah, it's been like 3 years.
You're not going to forget. It's consuming your life.
Yeah. This has made you relevant.
Yeah, exactly. So, Daniel, the Spider-Man family just got bigger with the addition of Spider-Boy, Spider-Man's new sidekick in Spider-Man number 7 that just came out today, which is pretty fun. It's created by Dan Slott and Umberto Ramos, who's a pretty goated artist. And apparently this also introduced a weapon called the Totem Dagger, which will... if a Spider-Man is slain with it, it'll completely erase them from existence along with anyone else's memory of them, like across the multiverse.
That's pretty like OP, you know?
It is.
Like that's a bit much.
I think erasing memory like is not necessarily needed, but killing them across like dimensions, that puts some stakes back into like very Spider-Verse heavy Spider-Man.
How are the other Spider-Men who haven't been hit by this thing gonna know if they're losing, you know?
I don't know.
Interesting.
But yeah, Spider-Man has a sidekick now, which is interesting.
Is his design just look like Spider-Man but smaller?
It's like reverse Spider-Man. I can look it up. Hold on.
Ah, so he's evil.
No, it's like it's like mainly blue with like red accents.
That's cool. Such a simple idea. It's probably executed well.
Yeah.
Has there never been a Spider-Boy? I feel like that's a slam dunk.
There has been.
Okay. Just current Spider-Boy. Is JRJR still on that or who's on this?
I don't know. I think it's still JRJR. It's only on issue 7, which seems bizarre because I feel like we've been clowning on it for forever.
Is that Amazing Spider-Man or just Spider-Man?
No, just Spider-Man number 7, I guess.
Okay. Is JRJR on Amazing Spider-Man?
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why are you talking to me about this?
Dude, I thought you'd know.
Okay, here it is.
You had the news.
Looks pretty good.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I love when they put sneakers on a superhero.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man just needs sneaks now for going forward. Because something about it aesthetically is really nice.
I really liked when Iron Fist had sneakers and his jumpsuit. Best costume.
I don't like the tracksuit. I'm fine with sneakers, though. It's not like he's going to be walking around in like
sneakers in the deep
clogs or whatever.
Yeah. Where instead of just wearing his like no-show socks.
I do like those too. Remember,
they're not practical.
Do you remember when I cosplayed Iron Fist and I tried to wear no-show socks and they're like, you need to put shoes on? And so I was just walking around in Vans.
Yeah, that was like, you should have got the yellow Vans like I told you, man.
You didn't ever say that.
Sure.
And if you did, I ignored you because I was like, that's dumb.
And that's expensive.
And it was, yeah, it would have been expensive. So
anyway,
yeah, that's all the news I had.
Perfect. Let's get into the most exciting part of the episode, what you've all been waiting for. This week, I made Nathan read the weirdest comic book I've ever read back when I was picking up every single number one from Image, when I was so naive and I thought they could do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this, I'm like, what the fuck was that? And yeah. So I didn't pick up number two, so this is mostly a surprise to me as well.
Yeah.
So we read The Beef by Richard Starkings, Tyler Shainline, and Shaky Kane.
Shaky Kane.
Which is a sick fucking name.
That is a sweet, that's a sweet comics name.
Where the fuck is Shaky?
Yeah, Shaky is a sweet name.
Hey, you gotta come to the party this weekend. Shaky's going. Oh, Shaky. You know, this trade is called Tainted Love, a biochemical romance.
Which is also a pretty good subtitle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What did you think of this book?
First off,
is it low key kind of brilliant? No, it's bad.
Okay, not great book, but fun stuff.
Yes, that I agree with.
Okay, I just wanted to say that this is our second food comic in a row, kind of, because Southern Bastards had barbecue in it.
I mean, and this that's has not fast the food. Focus of it, but there is
it's like a secondary focus.
Barbecue?
Yeah, I mean, we're in this restaurant like once. It is
a setting. You know, you're right, actually.
Okay, and Boss's Barbecue, they're in it twice, maybe three times.
I think three times.
Yeah, so Southern Bastards is more of a food book than this food book called The Beef.
I disagree with that, but anyway. So this is like, what's interesting about this is that it's the most effective PETA marketing campaign without it being PETA related at all.
Yeah.
Because I've never been closer to considering going vegetarian.
Yeah.
Because this book is brutal.
Or at least being like a little bit more selective about my meats.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because it's very informative and that's the best part of the book. I don't care for the story.
It gets a little like documentary-ish.
Yeah, you know? Which I enjoy those aspects. You get some fun facts about the scary part of dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like citations and stuff. And the story that's like beyond that stuff is just bizarre. It's like, I don't care for any of this. And it looks like a Adult Swim show.
Yeah, it could definitely be one because there's worsely drawn Adult Swim shows.
Yeah.
I like the colors that they used, but the coloring isn't necessarily good as far as like shading and stuff. And like,
yeah, they don't.
It's just mostly all flats, you know?
Yeah. Which I think is on purpose because I think it's trying to hit like a certain kind of style, like an infographic kind of.
Sure.
Because there are parts where they have pretty much infographics going on there, but then actual story doesn't have like really any shading from what I could tell,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. Like like Mike Allred will do that stuff sometimes, but he does it better, or Laura Allred does it better because she colors.
True.
So yeah, I don't know. It's just an interesting book, and I'll remember it for forever.
That's all I wanted.
Which is it's not something I'm proud about.
What's funny is that I really expedited us ever getting to this book, you know, because, you know, eventually we'll read all the comics, Nathan.
We
know?
Will, yeah.
And this one's on that list.
We were doing too many of the good ones.
Yeah, we had to knock it down
a few notches. We read Southern Bastards last week, which is one of my favorite comics.
We've been too happy lately, Nathan.
Yeah.
I'm like, we need to cut that shit out.
Yeah, Grant Morrison, Frank Quietly, and then straight over to Southern Bastards. No, thank you.
The only thing that lost some points for me here is that there was like too much Spanish.
Wow. And
was like
too much Spanish, Daniel?
Yeah, a little annoying.
Yeah, they do have Spanish portions and they don't like translate them like most books will,
or
like most books get around that portion by being like, oh, they're actually speaking like Russian or whatever.
Yeah, they'll like parentheses or something. Yeah.
And like those like corner bracket things.
The carrots.
That's like the carrots. It's like the universal like comic book. I'm translating this for you, but they're speaking another language, you know?
Yeah. Or you have it in Spanish and then the English on the bottom, like in a little caption kind of thing.
Yeah. And there's like four full pages at some points that are just Spanish. And yeah. I'm like, I don't have a good way to translate this.
You have a girlfriend that speaks Spanish.
I'm not going to make her read this book.
Just the Spanish parts.
I would rather die.
You shouldn't have to read the whole thing. Just when you get to a tough part, be like, babe, I need help with this page.
No, I don't want to expose her to it, because then she'll be like, oh, what book is this? And I don't want to have to explain it.
I'm like, this is some dumb shit Daniel made me read.
Even still.
Did you translate it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I translated it for you. Don't worry.
Okay.
Gives tons of context.
That I'm interested in what you just like
look
about.
At the pages. The
I'm
panels
like, yeah, this is Spanish. And then they say some things in English sometimes. And like, I just, you know, comics are a visual medium, Daniel.
Partly, yeah.
And I can get the gist of what's going on visually.
If it's written, if it's executed well.
If it's executed well. Yeah. If, you know, most comics don't even need words, if you ask me. If it's done well. But anyway, let's get through this. Part one. Our main character is named Chuck, which I think is really funny because Chuck is like a meat.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I know the Chuck Box, which is like a burger place. It is a burger place.
But yeah, like Chuck is like a type of meat. And so it just makes sense for what this character becomes. But Chuck is a guy that's been working at a meat factory basically his whole life. His dad was killed in a meat factory accident. And he now works for the place that his dad died at. And he does a bunch of cow killings to grind them into meat to be consumed. He also works now for the bullies that he dealt with as a child. And he also eats at the beef restaurant that he supplies beef to every day. So he kills the cows and then he goes to the restaurant where the cows get made into fast food. And he eats fast food every single day.
Circle of life.
Kind of.
And if you get a free meal at a restaurant that you work at, you're eating it, you know?
Yeah. Do you think he gets free food? Probably. Yeah. So like this book is very off-putting in parts where it's on purpose and in parts where it's not. So there's points where characters are just talking to each other and the faces are rendered in like such a way that it makes me feel uncomfortable. And it like looks like one of those random like Adult Swim like TV shows where they'll just be like staring like at the screen or like staring at you as like the audience member. And you're like, something about this makes me uncomfy. You know? And that it's the same exact feeling here.
When you're like 9 years old and you turn on the TV and like Adult Swim is on, you're like, I should go to bed.
Yeah. It's like, I should not be watching this.
Yeah, you know? This is not for me. Like adults watch this. This is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt. I've never felt that until reading this, you know, since being a kid.
Oh yeah. I felt that as an adult watching Adult Swim.
Yeah.
There's some,
What's that one show with like the French fries and that like little meatball and they run around? It's like Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah. I felt like that as a kid watching that. I haven't revisited it as an adult, but there is something called like Mr. Noodles or something.
The dog one. Yeah, that one's fucked.
What's that one called?
It's called like Mr. Noodles, I'm pretty sure.
It's like Mr. Pickles?
Mr. Pickles, yeah.
Ah, I said that before you said that.
Yeah, because
I remembered.
I found it, but I'm just a slow reader before you. So I found it first.
Yeah, so.
This gave me Mr. Pickles vibes.
True.
For sure.
And I'm sorry I did that to you.
And that's okay. there's also points where it's supposed to be uncomfortable because the meat industry is pretty fucked up.
And also like the bullies are very like vulgar and, you know.
They look weird.
Inappropriate. Yeah. And
they very like on purpose clearly look weird. They just have weird faces, and so I'm just like, I don't like those guys. There's a bolt gun that Chuck uses to like electrify cows' brains, and that's shown in here, which is awful.
Nah, it's like a rod
yeah that like goes into their brain and like stuns them so that they can be murdered.
Yeah, and it comes back out.
Yeah, but there's like an interesting part of this element of this book where the narration or like the captions inform us about the meat industry and things like excitotoxins or like how high amino acids can fuck up like your brain neurons and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I walked away from this book learning a lot about how bad the fast food industry is technically. Yeah. So, but anyway,
Nathan, there's an ad in the beef restaurant for a root beer flavored Frosty. Do you think that'd be good?
A root beer flavored Frosty. Like ice cream?
Like a Frosty.
Frosty? Ice cream? Yeah.
Yeah, like the ice cream.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Root beer flavor? Maybe. I don't think I would like it.
Don't they make like a root beer icy?
That's Coke.
Well, oh, you're right. But
there might be one out there. But I
think if it works for Coke, it'll work for root beer.
I don't like the Coke one.
Well, they sell it.
Someone does. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chuck's Bullies, I think they're called K-Bob and G-Bob or K-Bob and Upchuck. I don't know. I just call them the Bullies.
Something like that.
They start being super racist to a girl named Mary Lynn and her family who are Hispanic. And Mary Lynn also happens to be a girl that Chuck likes. So he stands up to the bullies, which like really does nothing. And then those guys later stab a cow and send it raging towards Mary Lynn, which makes Chuck mad. And he turns into the beef. And that's pretty much this first issue. And it's funny how they explain him getting powers, because it's like he eats so much fast food that he's basically more cow than human. Mm-hmm. But also he consumes a lot of GMOs from the strawberries that Mary Lynn's family picks. Also, he uses that bolt gun a lot and there's electricity in that. And so those things mixed together turns him into the Thing, but with meat.
Or the Hulk, but with meat.
That's probably, yeah, the Hulk, but with meat.
Yeah.
So
what do you think about this design, Nathan?
I think it's fine.
I think it is... what it should be, you know?
I don't have any notes, you know?
It kind of looks like a raw steak, you know, with the marbling and whatnot. And right. You see like the little trims of fat.
Which is on purpose. I think the coloring actually here is pretty good because there's distinctive parts of the meat or of the beef. So, yeah, I think it's fine. Like, you know what it's supposed to be.
Right.
So, part two, there's a quick little animal product lesson. So, we see where things like gummy bears come from as part of like a cow, which is like parts of cow collagen or same thing with glue.
Out of the hooves.
Tide products, which I didn't know. Like,
yeah.
Soap comes from cow fatty acids, or they use cow fatty acids. Leather, insulin, and adrenaline are extracted from cow corpses.
I did not know that either.
And so it's just this like really dark graphic of products that you have probably used before, and it points to a different part of it on the cow, and the cow itself is explaining like where that comes from. And that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like these parts of the book are pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it gets back into the story. And so the beef flips over the bully's car, and then he runs off scared after seeing himself look like the beef. And then there's some like backstory on Mary Lynn's family and like the immigration story and how America isn't really like the dream that they all thought it would be, pretty much. And they show Mary Lynn getting smuggled in, and she's like laying on top of like the engine of a truck, like in the hood, and they just like put a blanket over it.
Yeah.
Is that even possible?
That'd be, well,
because it gets so hot, right?
And there's got to be room for them
on
the hood, and it gets insanely hot. Yeah.
Doesn't the engine like, wouldn't there be parts of it that move and like fuck up the blanket? Probably.
I don't think on top there is. It's more like internal, top, yeah. Like the pistons and stuff.
Yeah, but surely you wouldn't fit. And if you did fit, you'd probably just cook because the engine gets so hot. So I was like, this is something else.
The dad is like in the dash. I'm like, there's got to be parts in there, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like the airbag and the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Just shit like that.
Yeah. Well, no, he could probably take those out.
Yeah, he's just in there. The dad just basically just saying like, oh, after a couple of hours, you just fall asleep and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Just translating from Spanish. That's
in Spanish, yeah. I kind of do respect that they kept it in Spanish.
Yeah. I get that.
Because it's just ballsy, I guess. They'd be like, there's going to be a huge portion of our audience that just won't be able to read this normally.
Yeah.
Because most people aren't bilingual. So that's the Spanish part here.
If I kept up with my Duolingo, I might have been able to pick up some of this. There were words I recognized, but
sure.
Most of Spanish is just memorizing words, you know, and I wasn't good at that.
Chuck is recovering from being the beef, and he's like gets the shits or something. And then the grandpa of the two bullies, who's also the owner of the meat factory, hires a cop to take the beef out. And that's the rest of that issue.
Yeah, I don't know if we needed like a panel of him like on the shitter.
It was pretty clear what was happening.
And yeah.
The mom is like, you got the Hershey squirts or whatever. And then it just shows him on the toilet. And it's like a whole splash page. It's like, we know what's happening. This isn't like a reveal.
Yeah.
But whatever. Part three, Chuck suddenly has lost his appetite for all things dairy, which is interesting. And he also has udders.
I don't know if that was just kind of like a nightmare kind of thing.
I think it was like a nightmare sequence kind of thing, but he lifts up his shirt and he has like four nipples that are really long, like udders.
Four teats.
And that was quite disturbing. And so that was like the probably the best jump scare of any comic book I've ever read.
I didn't realize it was a horror comic.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's actual like body horror stuff. And I get like, I get that it's body horror stuff that's supposed to resemble the experience of cows. It's just, but it's still hard to look at. And so yeah, they've done what they wanted to do successfully. I just don't appreciate it.
The when he turns into the beef, he gets like bigger, like he does like Hulk out a little bit.
Yeah.
But like even before that, he's a pretty big dude. Like they draw him pretty big.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
as it is.
Yeah, so, he's very wide in stature already.
Yeah, all that protein
from the beef,
from the excitogens or whatever you said,
from the excitotoxins.
Excitotoxins.
So the cop that was hired, who's also super racist, brings in Mary Lynn's family, and he's like, "I'm gonna deport you" or whatever. And then the book tells us about how calves are taken away from their mothers and force fed milk substitutes, leaving them malnourished. And then he turns into the beef to fight the cop. So, yeah, they sprinkle in some more scary dairy stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that one seems quite awful.
Yeah.
So.
Like, you know what, like, veal is?
It's like calf, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, after I read this, Sarah was watching, like, Next Level Chef or something, and they're cooking with veal. I'm like, these animals.
I'm like, you're evil. You know what happens to those calves?
It's murder.
Those calves were taken away from their mothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starved. For your fucking cooking show.
When he turns into the beef this time, he says the line, "You got beef with me." And I think that's actually a sick line because it seems like that's his like it's clobbering time line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was the only line of dialogue where I wasn't just wishing it was all over.
I like his like transition panels because.
Why does he turn blue? What is that?
I don't know. Maybe he's turning into water or something. That's like the water in his. I don't know. I like it because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. So. Cause like the bullies are like, oh, he just like turned inside out or something, but that's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he just turned into like a big thing of like ground beef.
Yeah.
You know,
that's yeah.
Which but is cooler to
someone that doesn't know what's going on. I could see why they would think he just turned inside out.
Yeah.
Chuck is now connected to the cow mind, which I'm pretty sure is the hive mind, but for cows.
Yeah.
And he leads the cows of the factory to stampede over the cop, which kills him. And now Mary Lynn is in a chokehold with a bolt gun to her head. And that's the cliffhanger there.
He's got the power of the cow.
Yeah, he recruits the cows.
Which I thought was fun.
I did actually kind of think that was fun. So yeah, part four. There's a really great recap by a cow leading us up to this point and also giving us another nice lesson on how fucked up the meat and dairy industry is. And so these are all like terrible facts that are told through the perspective of a cow, which I think is a good way to do this kind of thing because it kind of it forces you to be more like empathetic because it's like this is a cow telling you what's eventually going to happen to her.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. So I think that was done very clever, but I wish there was more of this and less story. But anyway, here's the fun facts, Daniel. Cows are forced to be constantly pregnant for 4 to 5 years to continually lactate, which never goes to their calves.
Mm.
Did you know a cow had to be pregnant to lactate? Because I did not, I guess.
I figured because, you know, they produce the milk for babies. You know?
Yeah, which makes sense. Most dairy cows don't eat grass. They are kept in a stall and fed corn and chicken meal, which are parts of the chicken that people don't typically eat.
Mm.
They being a grass-fed cow is not really a thing unless you buy your milk and stuff from an actual like farm store.
So Sprouts is lying to us?
Sprouts is pretty much lying to us.
I've had like grass
like fed they probably butter. Eat some grass.
I'm sure some of that's got to be it's, real. Maybe like, it's like mixed in with the meal. Some of it is,
but they're like it's going to be like fresh and like expensive milk and eggs and stuff from a farm shop specifically.
Yeah.
So maybe Sprouts does it. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But if it's like mass produced, it's probably from cows that are not grass fed.
Mm-hmm.
Hindu cultures treat cows very special and they are under like a law that are not they're not to be killed under any circumstance. And mentions Gandhi gauging a nation based on how its animals are treated. Mm-hmm. So Gandhi's thrown in there. There's also after a calf is born, it's taken away from the mother, which you mentioned, but it leaves the mother bellowing for days. And they are then pumped with bovine hormone to boost milk production. And they're often left very much in pain and just constantly milked for a while. And there's some terrible imagery of a person represented in a way that cows are treated. So we see Mary Lynn with like just pumped up on hormones and kind of looks like a cow and is very off-putting. And the cow's like, yeah, she's got an udder as well. And the cow's like, oh yeah, real downer, isn't it? This is what happens to us. And that kind of puts it in a different perspective as well.
Yeah.
So that part was cool. Back in the story, the grandpa is pissed that his grandkids haven't killed the beef and the girl yet. And Mary Lynn gets out of the chokehold. The beef professes his love to her, to Mary Lynn. And Mary Lynn's like, dude, you don't even know me.
Yeah.
Like, we've barely talked at all, like when you were Chuck. And then she gets like shot, and then Chuck summons the power of the cow and punches a dairy truck to flood the whole place. And then Gandhi is spawned out of the milk to help.
This is the best part of the book.
Yeah, this part's crazy. So I do think it's funny when he summons the power of the cow and it just like shows his silhouette and like what fills him up. And it's just like, it's just fast food burgers and like the soda that washes down and like milk and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is crazy. But yeah, I think that milk Gandhi might have been the hardest twist of all time.
Yeah, you did not see that coming.
I did not. I'm like, okay, cool. He punches a, you know, a big truck full of milk and then Gandhi shows up.
Did you mention that Mary Lynn got shot?
She did get shot, yeah.
And then when he gets shot, arm? I don't know. There's no like bullet wound, but there's like a little puddle of blood on there.
All right, I just saw this.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I just found that, but it was never clear before. But
when he gets shot, when the beef gets shot, it just goes like straight through him. It doesn't really like affect him.
Like ground beef.
Like ground beef.
Yeah. So part five, Gandhi is the one that intros us with more meat facts. And he goes over how they extract.
Real quick. There's a great Gandhi page where you can cut him out and you can have a Gandhi mask if you'd like.
Yeah, like Gandhi, it's just his face and they give you a little dotted line so you can cut it out and be like, you could be Gandhi too.
So if you'd like to, if you didn't like this book for whatever reason, you can vandalize it and make a Gandhi mask.
I probably would have.
Yeah, I thought you were going to buy it physically because you said it was cheaper to buy it physically than it was.
I would absolutely never. Yeah, I would not.
You still bought it.
I did buy it and that's your fault. That's on your conscience.
Hey,
he does introduce himself as I'm Oscar winner Gandhi. I guess there's a Gandhi movie.
Yeah, I tried to look into that. I'm like, maybe Gandhi was in a movie or a documentary and got an Oscar, but no, there was a movie Gandhi played where by somebody else played Ben Gandhi. Kingsley.
Yes. Yeah.
When he was like younger, he looked just like him.
Yeah, I think that's Ben Kingsley got like knighted and that was like probably one of the movies that helped him get to that point.
Yeah. It was like an 80s movie. I didn't realize he'd been acting that long.
Yeah.
Then he's Guru Tugin Maputa.
Tugin Maputa. His best role.
Yeah. Wipes away Gandhi. Like,
yeah.
Gandhi
and then,
who?
And then he was the Mandarin?
Yes. Kind of. Yes.
He
yes.
was fake Mandarin?
And then his name was just like Justin or something.
That's insane.
Wasn't it?
Something like that. I don't know. I haven't seen Iron Man 3 in a while.
No, he was in Shang-Chi, remember?
He was, yeah.
No, Trevor. His name is Trevor.
Trevor. Okay, yeah. That's right. He was in Shang-Chi. I didn't like that movie very much.
Shang-Chi.
So, yeah, Gandhi intros us. He gives us some more meat facts. He goes over how they extract bull sperm, which they stimulate bulls with anus vibrators and electrojaculators. If they have that, sometimes they're manually jerked off, which is crazy. And then that semen is distributed to the cows in a place called the rape rack, forced to become pregnant, and then calves are submit to the same process just a year after being born,
which is nuts.
Which, yeah, that's bizarre. And
how do you like about the panel where Gandhi is holding a bull's penis?
I wonder if there was any point where the artist was like, should I be doing this?
Yeah, probably the entire time.
Because
I wonder,
seems unethical.
I wonder if they like wrote this like together and then they're like, this is going to be great. And that, or maybe like the writer hired this artist just blindly.
Yeah, like, here's the book. Much of a collaborative.
Yeah, and then when he's reading the script, he's like, "What the fuck?" And then just had to draw it. Anyway.
Imagine he like turns in the page and Gandhi's not jerking off a bullet, and then he gives him notes, and he was like, "For panel three,
yeah,
can you
clearly it
can,
states,
can you close in on the bull penis a little bit more and show Gandhi shafting him?" You know?
Yeah,
yeah. The whole thing's bizarre.
I wonder if YouTube would take this down if I put the panels in the video.
I don't think you should put them in there in general.
Ah, no, you can go buy the book and read it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I do enjoy the lettering and like the later issues of this because they put a lot more emphasis on like the important parts and stuff, and it makes it like overall funner to read. So that's interesting. And then there's like actual citations as well. So when there's like pretty big claims being made, it's like they give acknowledgement to Dairy is Scary by Aaron Janus or whatever. So there's like actual citations in the bezels of the actual comic, which I think is interesting.
Right. Then one of the bullies shoots Gandhi in the head.
Yeah, shoots Milk Gandhi. But
it's just milk.
He's still milk. So
you can't kill Milk Gandhi.
You cannot. The beef starts to get involved and he's like, "You killed Gandhi."
then I like audibly laughed at this because he's so pissed.
He's like, "How could you do that?" And yeah, I did laugh because of how absurd, like, this should not exist kind of absurdity.
Yeah.
But
it does.
So he starts to get like chopped up by some chainsaws and Marilyn's like, "Maybe I do love him. Maybe I should use this car that I'm in to help the beef." And then she's encouraged against it by Milk Gandhi, who's still alive. And he's like, "You know, an eye for an eye," or whatever my line is. And then the beef is chopped to bits by chainsaw. While Mary Lynn escapes, the beef is collected and thrown into the meat factory to be processed. And that's the end of our story. I do like that the recurring bit this whole time was that Gandhi doesn't know what his own lines are.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, was that me or is that Buddha?" Or like,
yeah.
But he really nailed the eye for an eye one because he says that to Mary Lynn. He's like, "That's definitely me."
Yeah. I like the chainsaw noises that they put in this.
The zoom.
Zoom. And then they have like it all like electric looking.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And then the dude's grounded into burgers. Which seems like not the right thing to do, like put like a human into, you know,
they don't really care about that.
Yeah, clearly
it seems. Yeah, so he gets processed. There's like an epilogue where someone eats the beef meat and then becomes the beef.
Yes.
And I think that's like a metaphor because like we are now the beef because we have consumed the story of the beef and now we should have the cow mind kind of deal. That's right. That's what I took from this.
Okay.
Like this, the beef. Or
maybe like everyone that eats this meat will become the beef.
I think.
And then we'll overthrow the beef restaurant.
I think the beef was the spark to the fire because there's going to be more people that eat the beef.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the beef is not condensed into this one burger that this super fat guy ate.
Yeah, no, it was like 100 burgers.
He's wearing a Radio Shack hat. I just realized that's weird. So yeah, there will be multiple of the beefs, and I assume this whole cycle will start again until everybody's vegetarian or something. I think that's the goal.
Yeah.
So yeah, this book was interesting. I also think Gandhi was totally right to be like, "You don't know this guy, just leave." Like,
yeah,
talking to Mary Lynn, be like, "This is not worth it. You do not love him. Take care of your family. You don't owe anybody shit."
Right.
And then, so I was like, that's pretty funny.
I thought she was actually just going to like go and like, you know, defend him and try to help, you know, kill the bad guys or whatever. But that was an interesting turn. You know, the good guy loses.
Yeah. Like she doesn't know him anything. She doesn't know him really.
Right.
He's just up to him becoming the beef. He was just like this weird guy that works at a meat factory, has no problem killing 20,000 cows.
And
eats
fast food every day.
Eats fast food every day. He just like hates his life. It seems, or like there's nothing really going for him. So
yeah,
he wasn't like a great protagonist necessarily.
Yeah.
So that was the beef. So let's go on to some back matter matters.
Back matters. Well,
I think these are all covers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen them around.
There's actually some solid covers in here. I feel like that set themselves apart.
Yeah, because the cover of the trade was like a real picture of like you know, I don't know, canned beef or whatever.
Sure.
Which, and then the logo slapped on it. And then we got like a milk carton on here.
Yeah, I like the milk carton one.
So I like when they do this. They do this sometimes, like where it's like a picture of something and then they just add on to it.
Yeah. So like this one, it's like when they used to put like the missing persons things on the sides of milk. And this one, it's just showing the beef. And the distinguishing features is looks like raw meat, which I think is funny. There's also a Surgeon General's warning. There is pus in your milk. Which is like a real thing, I guess, because they milk the cows so much. So that's disturbing. There's a comic book, like a Golden Age style looking comic book cover.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which I think is pretty cool. And then my favorite one is like the meat processed, or sorry, the beef processed into like the different like meat. Yeah, styrofoam like containers.
The deli like packaging or whatever.
And I was like, this is actually kind of a sick cover.
Yeah, no. And I like the shine that they do on the plastic and then over the artwork.
Yeah, the artwork is still like pretty comic-y, but yeah, they still have the shine of the plastic. And so I was like, this is creative.
Yeah, I love when there's like a brand on something, like the beef like logo, and mm-hmm. it's like everywhere. And yeah. It's just like consistent, you know? So there's two writers. Richard and Tyler, and then Shaky Kane did the art and colors. So,
okay, cool. So I think Shaky Kane is like pretty solid at what he does.
Yeah. You know? I wonder what else Shaky Kane has done.
You know, after doing this, I don't know if I would do any more comics.
I like how they have this fifth dude. It's Francisco Bustamante, and it just says amigo. Like, did he help? Or he's just like, oh, this is our friend?
Yeah. This is my dog, okay?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? He probably helped with the Spanish.
Oh, that's a weird way to have that accredited to him then.
It's kind of funny, though. Rather than just being like translator or whatever.
Yeah, amigo.
But yeah, you're welcome, Nathan.
Yeah. You know, like, I think there's a silver lining of the book.
It wasn't like complete dog shit, you know? There was like good things about it.
But I left it. But I finished it and I was like, I understand what this was and there's some value in like what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't at least a complete train wreck, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I liked this more than like the Iron Fist book that we read that one time, the first one we did.
Yeah.
Where it was just complete.
You can't nothing. Call this like our worst book.
That yeah. We've reviewed. That's what I'm trying to say. Like it's maybe bottom 10, but that's pretty good.
I'll give you that.
Yeah,
because like we don't like go for bad books. It's just we pick stuff blindly and then don't end up liking it, you know,
which is fine and that's how it should be.
This one might be like the first one where I'm like, I know this might be bad, you know. So
yeah, have we ever done that where we're like, this is gonna be bad?
Maybe Wedding of Deadpool, but we end up liking quite a bit of that.
Oh, that was all right. There's like a couple things where I'm like, I don't know how this will go or if I'll like it. And then they like surprise me.
I like this more than like our MODOK book.
That's crazy to me.
Really? That book was just like nothing.
That book is not just nothing.
It was just like a book.
No, I think this book at least was interesting in ways that I'll probably never see in any other book, you know?
Yeah, it's unique.
So I'll give it that over MODOK. But sure. I think MODOK's better.
Therefore better. Hey, then what do you rate this book?
I give this like a 1 pound of shredded beef that's like 80% lean.
Okay, yeah. Does that make sense? The cheap shit, yeah.
The cheap shit, yeah.
Okay. I give it like a...
And it's like 1 pound, and it's like, if you're cooking for multiple people, which I typically, and it's like not really enough.
Yeah.
So like
you wish you had like a quarter pound more.
It's just not satisfying.
Then I give this a quarter pounder meal with cheese.
A lot of excitotoxins in that.
Yeah, a lot of excitotoxins. And then I'll do like a high C from McDonald's, you know.
I'd also give this like a whole milk because it's just like too much milk.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, with like the kids meal or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought a funny one would be like the Cardi B and Offset meal. I don't know if you've seen that at McDonald's lately. But that's like...
Lately?
It's like new. But that'd be like way too big of a compliment because it's like two full meals and then like fries and a milkshake to share.
Yeah.
Which that would be like, gotta have it. You
Maybe
know,
just the Cardi B side of the McDonald's. That'll knock it down.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the beef.
That was something. Are you glad that was your birthday book?
I was very satisfied by it. Yeah. And, okay. And I was even more satisfied by your reaction to it.
Okay,
so.
Good. But, yeah. I'm glad I could.
It's a great birthday so far. Great way to kick off the weekend.
Okay, let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove in your box.
The poll list, What did you shove in your box?
Light week.
Not bad. Did you go to the shop today?
I did. I picked up Batman, the Tom King cover.
Oh, right.
which is great. And then I picked up Saga, and that was it.
Saga 63, and then Batman 134. There's the last issue of Stillwater, which was number 18, came out today. We got Night Club by Mark Miller, and that was number 4.
Yep. I saw that.
And Nathan, Ash Avenue Comics has been getting all kinds of like back issue stuff, and they posted it on their stories and whatnot.
And they've been getting in stuff?
Yeah, they've been getting a bunch of stuff, and they, you know, they price them, and then when they're pricing them, they take a picture and post it on their story. It's a lot of fun. They'll post like 30 pictures like a day of like back issue stuff that are going to the bins. And that's how I got like my Sex Criminals number 1. From watching their stories.
That's cool.
And I got a new one. And it is The Punisher number 1.
Oh, by Mitch Gerrits?
By Mitch Gerrits.
Yeah. Nathan Edmondson and Mitch Gerrits. Yeah, I've read that one.
So I was like, ooh, I know that.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
That was right after he did the Activity, which was like his first comic book thing, I want to say.
Probably.
And I believe that one was also with Nathan Edmondson.
Nice.
Fun fact for you.
Then Tom King just stole him. Yeah.
So I was like, Tom King stole him from there.
Yeah. Did you read anything?
I did. I read the new Doom Patrol that came out last week.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bizarre.
Hmm.
But a lot of fun.
Cool.
There's a new Jane personality thing.
Right.
And what it is pretty, it's interesting. I really love the artist. I think he draws like Robot Man, like perfect. I can't even remember what his name is outside my head, but.
Burnham?
Chris Burnham. Yeah.
Yeah,
he does a great job.
Yeah. No, I love that cover. Like, I'm like, this looks so sick.
The cover's great.
Is it like pretty similar to like Nick Darrington, would you say? Like the style?
No, I would say it's closer to the vibe of like the show, I guess.
Okay.
So there's just like, yeah, random situations where like this one, they go to Gotham City to like figure out some shit. And then like there's a part where Batman's like there to help, but they're there for like a completely different reason than Batman's there. And so.
Yeah. Cause Batman's always there.
Yeah. He's always there. But like they're just trying to like take in people to like become part of the Doom Patrol and do something more with their like metahuman powers and stuff. Whereas Batman's like, oh, I'm just going to put him in Arkham. And they're like, that doesn't work. You know?
Oh, okay.
By like, they're like, we want to do our system where they bring them in, like we give them purpose.
Right.
And then we, you know, have them do that for other people. And I'm like, this is interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then like the people's powers are really cool. So yeah, I think it's good. It was a strong start. Plus there's like another
backstory
plot. Like, happening in the background where there's like a big gorilla. So I'm like, okay, this is already great.
Okay.
And just like weird shit happening. I don't know if they're like existing Doom Patrol characters or whatever.
Is it like the brain and that gorilla?
The brain and like, yeah, and there's a gorilla.
Okay, yeah.
So they're in the book.
Cool. They're in the show, like in the third season.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so they're in as well. I also read more of Trad Moore's Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. I finished.
Yeah, I've been sitting on that. It's insane.
So insane.
Like, there's parts where I'm like, this is too much for me to even comprehend.
Yeah.
And he just draws it. Hmm. And so, I like that book a lot. I don't really know what's happening, but I didn't pick up the book to figure out what the story was necessarily. I just wanted to look at the pretty pictures.
Yeah.
So, that shit's great. What'd you read?
I read Batman Killing Time, number 2.
Okay.
Because I read number 1 months ago And
you were able to pick up right where you left off, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I was like kind of trying to remember. I'm like, what happened in the first one? But
there's a lot that happened in the first one.
Yeah, but then again, I was able to go to the second issue really with no problems. I was like, oh yeah, this happened. And
okay.
That book is really good, but it kind of gets in its own way to where, you know how he does like the Watchmen thing where he's like, at this time, this happened.
Yeah.
He does that like with every panel.
Yeah, it's super
annoying.
Which
is so redundant because when he says what's happening, the picture shows what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it slows down the flow so much, but the artwork is incredible. And
David Marquez is unbelievable.
The book is really good. Other than that, mm-hmm. if I'm like, if I see that it's just showing what's happening, if it's just telling what's happening, I'll just like skip it at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, it's like good. And I think it's interesting.
I think David Marquez is a good enough storyteller to where Tom King wouldn't need to like put anything really in any of the times. He could like say like what the time was, and then David Marquez could just like draw what was happening. You'd be able to get it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you know. Like he has a really strong run with Brian Michael Bendis on the Defenders. At Marvel. And so it was like a really cool, just Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Daredevil, Jessica Jones story.
Uh-huh.
And like a lot of it was, there's like silent parts, like pages on pages. So it's cool.
Nice. I read a new manga, Nathan.
Okay.
It's called Zom 100. And it's like a zombie manga, basically. Okay.
That's what I figured.
What's funny about that is like, it's about this kid. He's like out of college and he starts his new job and he's just been insanely overworked for like 3 years, like working overnight, basically has no social life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like goes to work and he sees like his landlord is like a zombie. And he like, once he gets to safety and he sees like that the city is in ruin, he's like, does that mean I don't have to go to work?
Like, that's a good point.
And it's like a comedic book, which is fun.
Cool.
And he's like, he has the best perspective about like the zombie apocalypse. Like he on the second day of the apocalypse, he goes on a beer run.
You know?
Like just
there's a bright side to everything, Daniel.
Yeah, he just goes to the store and gets some beer and risks his life, you know. And it's pretty funny. He's got like neighbors that are freaking out and things like that, but he's just so happy he doesn't have to work.
That's fun. You know? There's not a whole lot of zombie comedy like things out there.
Yeah, no, and it's just really good pacing. The zombies look really cool, and yeah, good book.
Nice.
So it's only like 9 volumes right now, which is pretty short for like a manga. It's only been out for like a few years or like a year or two.
9 volumes in a year or two is a lot.
Yeah. It's not on like Shonen Jump or anything, like the app that I normally read on. So I'd have to like buy every volume, which is expensive. Yeah, I bought the first one because I had a gift card.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, I'd have to buy like the rest of it in order to read it, which seems like such a dumb problem.
God damn it.
I have to pay for this to read it? I have to pay for a product to enjoy it?
That I'm enjoying so
far? What are you talking about?
And I would like to continue to enjoy. I still have to pay?
Yeah, and so I think it'd be worth it because I've read other ones, like, you know, just read like the first volume just to get a taste for it. And if I'm not willing to pay like $8 for the next one, then yeah, I just drop it. You know? So it's fun. Watch anything new?
Me and Sophia were rewatching the John Wick movies.
Oh, wow.
So we went through 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
Because she's not convinced that she's seen all of them. She just remembers parts of them. And I think
that's how everyone feels.
She like legitimately, I don't think I've seen either of them because she was like, I don't remember this part. I just remember the pit bull. And I'm like, I remember the pit bull too. And
was it a pit bull?
Yeah. It's in the second one. And there's
it was a beagle or something.
That's the first dog. That's Daisy, the one that gets killed and starts the whole John Wick thing. At the end of the first movie, he gets a pit bull.
Oh, that's super right. Cute.
And then in the second movie, the pit bull's barely in it because he goes to the Continental and he's like, stay. And then like the pit bull stays there for hours on end.
He's a good boy.
He is a good boy. He's off leash. Those movies are really good.
Yeah, they're fun.
The first one in particular is probably one of the funniest movies I've seen in a while.
Really?
Just because they're like trying to be funny, but without it being like obvious. And I think they toe that line really well because there's parts where in like the first one where John Wick like kills like a bunch of guys in his house that he was expecting, and then like the cops are there, and then he opens the door and he's like, hey Jimmy. and then he's like, hey John, you working again?
Yeah.
And it's like that like casual conversation that's so bizarre. It is clearly supposed to be funny, but the way that they're doing it is like a very clever way.
Yeah.
And so like that's just really fresh feeling again for some reason. And that continues a little bit in the second one. So yeah, just like the bizarre situations make it comedic.
Yeah.
And I think like John Wick is the best at like doing that, like those movies. So
definitely.
I'm enjoying them. Good action too, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to watch the third one and then we're going to watch 4, which is why we're doing this all, is to watch the fourth one.
Cool.
Because it's supposed to be really good.
Let me know. I might crash your John Wick date.
Okay. Yeah, because people are saying it's like about as good as the first one. So
I talked to an adult, you know, like, so about the fourth one.
What do you mean about that?
Older than me. Probably okay. Old enough to be our dad.
Okay,
and sure. He's like, that shit was too long. I'm like, probably.
Yeah, I think the third one was a little long.
He's like, they were like 20-minute fights. I'm like, wow.
Okay, that could be like a lot.
But I'm still willing to like watch it. Like, I watch all of them.
Yeah.
Cool. I watched the first Murder Mystery with Adam Sandler.
Okay.
The actor who plays King T'Chaka is in it.
Oh, cool.
Which I was surprised by. And
have you not watched that already?
I've never seen the first one now. And Sarah thinks she saw it, but couldn't remember it.
Okay.
And so the second one just came out. So we watched the first one. And it is surprisingly like really good. Like it's like a whodunit. And it just kept kept building. And it was like really well written. Like the writer on it has like written like heist movies and stuff.
Okay.
And so like it was like a... It wasn't just like Adam Sandler writing like a whodunit, you know? It was just like Adam Sandler happened to be in it.
Okay, cool.
And it was so funny too. Like it was like very funny.
Wow.
I was so surprised by how much I enjoyed it.
Are you turning into an Adam Sandler?
I think this is a reasonable thing to like. Like I asked Dad if they've watched it and they're like, yeah, it's like a good movie. I'm like, okay, I know. Cool. And he doesn't want to watch the second one because he's afraid it might like ruin it for him.
People are saying it's not great. So
I think you have to just like Adam Sandler movies to probably enjoy it. So we'll probably watch it this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, but nothing was like predictable. And I guessed the killer, but I had no good reason to guess. I just like you're picked like a guy. Person. Yeah, sure. I'm like, that one. That's it. I was right because I kept switching like throughout the movie. I'm like, oh no, this happened.
If you hit every character, eventually you'll be right. Yeah.
No, but the first one I picked would end up being the killer.
Ah.
But yeah, good movie.
That's fun.
Do you watch anything else?
No, but I played a game called Hypercharged Unboxed.
Is that a Fast and Furious game?
No.
Okay.
It's a game that I've talked about before, but it was in beta. It's basically a like horde, like wave defense game, but you are an action figure and you're fighting against like other toys that are trying to take it down.
Is that the one in the toy store?
Yeah, it's like it takes place in a toy store or like a kid's bedroom.
Okay, I thought that had been out because I've seen the videos.
It had been out, but they'd recently added the campaign.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool. It's kind of a campaign. Really, it's just like before each level, there's like a little narrative. And it's interesting because the narrative is like just comic book pages that are around like the kid's bedroom or like the toy store, and it just like flips through the pages and it's like a guided view thing for like a minute or two with like voice actors for the comic book characters and stuff.
Nice.
And I could have sworn that like I could name like the artist. Like it looked like some parts of it were like Scotty Young almost.
Oh, cool.
And some parts of it were like,
you probably look it up.
I tried looking it up. Like I looked through the credits of the game, like, you know, and I was like, who did this?
You couldn't
and
find it?
I couldn't find who specifically did the art. There was people that were credited for like 2D art.
Probably.
But I don't think that that's what it was. Like there's
2D. Did you recognize anybody?
No.
And
I tried to like look up Hypercharge Unboxed, who did the comic book stuff. Because it looks like it would have been also like, I forget his name, but he did a couple books with Warren Ellis. Anyway, it was like really good comic book art. And so I was like, okay, this is cool.
Huh. Nice.
So they added like a story, but that's really all it was. But it's a really good game in general.
Is that
so
on Steam or?
Steam mainly, I think.
Okay. Cool.
It might be on like Xbox and PS4, but.
I've watched some Mando, Nathan.
Okay, great.
I watched like 4 episodes.
Okay. I think that's all that's been out so far. So
I think there's a fifth one
that came out today.
No, I think the sixth one came out today.
What was the last thing you remember?
Baby Yoda, he got that little like Grogu? Chest plate thing. Grogu, yeah.
Okay, okay.
And they had like the baby pterodactyls.
Okay, gotcha. So you're one behind.
Yeah, I am one behind. So a couple things. In the first one, there was like some sort of pirates that there were. And I liked how like the king of the pirates looked like Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
I was like, that guy's fucking cool.
I love that guy. Yeah. I'm like, he's a fucking puppet too, which is so fun.
I'm like, I hope he comes back. Yeah. I love when they have puppets.
He comes back.
Like I love spoilers, Nathan. I love practical effects in that show.
Yeah. They very clearly like made that a focus, which I appreciate a lot.
There was some Mandalorian castle that, what's her name was in?
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan.
She just sits there?
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck do you do? But that castle looks like a house for like a Bond villain for some reason. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it's like kind of...
That's where like Rami Malek probably lives.
In the next one.
Yeah. I like the robot crab thing that was on Mandalore in the caves.
I was like, what
the fuck is that? This guy's steampunk as shit.
I know, yeah.
And like that alien was just so weird. It's like, such a weird design.
How big is he? Because he just like keeps crawling out of a different robot.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite like new creatures out of that thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was bizarre when they go to like the waters or whatever to get redeemed that like the jetpack just works underwater. And also like the helmets are like waterproof or whatever.
They like are vacuum sealed in.
Yeah. I just imagine it's like, you know,
Mando or Din Djarin is the biggest goof in the world. He like constantly needs to get saved.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't handle the crab monster thing. And then like he just stepped in a deep part of water and he needs to get saved. Like, why was he passed out at the bottom there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess he couldn't swim up. Maybe he didn't have his jetpack. I think he took it off right before.
Maybe
he
can't swim.
But yeah, that like Mandalorian beast thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like Bo-Katan's journey. I didn't really care about that character up until this season.
Yeah, so, she is growing on me.
Yeah, I'm enjoying seeing her go through.
She just has the coolest helmet.
She does have the coolest helmet. A lot of the other Mandalorians are like, what are you doing?
That whole scene where they're like all fighting like the alligator or whatever. I'm like, this feels kind of like CW in a way, just because there's like there's so many of them and they all have like kind of wacky colors that they're working with.
The wacky colors are what throws me off the most. Yeah, like why is he the only one with chrome?
He's the only one dripped out.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And like he's the only one that earned it. And then I thought like the child helmet looked a little campy. I'm like, he'll grow out of that in like a year. You know?
Yeah, totally.
But there was also,
I like the dude with the big gun.
Oh yeah. He's like the second coolest.
Yeah, totally.
The little minigun or whatever. He's just always going to hang around.
I like the rock climbing they did. I don't know if we're there yet.
But. Sarah was asking me, she's like, do Mandalorians be fucking? I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
I'm like, I think so. They can't take their helmets off. She's like, so no kissing. I'm like, no kissing.
Yeah.
And then like they rescue that kid and like the minigun guy is like, that's my son. I'm like, oh, they be fucking.
Yeah, they do be fucking. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they can have sex. And that's fine.
Yeah. The helmet stays on during sex.
I like how they answered like the food question where like they all go to like a different part.
I thought we knew that already.
No, they didn't really say anything.
I think there's definitely been parts where Mando is like given a drink or something and then he has to like go off somewhere else to like eat or something. But yeah,
because like they talk about the Creed as if they are literally never taking that shit off. And I'm like, it's probably so stinky in there.
It is probably still very stinky, but
they just can't let anyone see them, you know?
Yeah, like they could still shower. They just have to be alone, you know?
So it's whatever. We don't have to see Pedro Pascal. It could just probably be his voice.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
He could do the whole show over the phone.
Yeah, totally.
They go to Coruscant. That was cool to see.
Yeah, that whole Coruscant episode was crazy.
Yeah, I was a little bored by it. But my favorite part was like, they had like a Mon Calamari there, right? And he was like gold for some reason.
Yeah.
And then like he was like I don't know if it's the same one, but another one. It was another gold one that was like a doctor when they do the mind scramble thing. Mm-hmm. And then like the dude on the table is like, I was set up. It was a trap. And I'm like,
I didn't even realize that.
I was like, ah.
I was like, yeah, it was a trap.
Dude,
yeah.
That was so fucking, I don't know. I thought it was really funny.
He's like, you would know.
Come on, man.
you guys can recognize traps from a mile away.
Yeah. And like that doctor dude, like at the beginning of the episode, he does like a Star Wars TED talk, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, I did think that was funny too.
Like it's just something and he just goes back to a normal job afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, I enjoyed that episode because we haven't really seen people from the Empire get transitioned into a life outside of that.
That's good to know. But I really just want Mando stuff, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I do. And you got
like,
a dogfight for like 10 minutes in the first part. And so I'm like, okay, that was cool. And then the rest of it's like this story, which I'm like, okay, I don't know where this is going. But I think they did a good job keeping me interested, at least.
Sure.
Because I don't know a lot about Star Wars, I feel like. And yeah. I was like, okay, this is interesting to see someone transition out of the Empire and being like, this is why someone would be like a part of the Empire, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Like like their perspective was like, this was the work that we were like trying to do kind of deal. And some people thought it was bad, but there's some parts that were good, you know, to them. And then the fact that that girl is still like an Empire person,
yeah,
and like really just gaslighting that guy the whole time, I was like, that was a pretty cool thing. Yeah. And then he fucking scrambled his brains and I was like, this is dark.
Yeah.
He's like brain dead.
Probably. And yeah. Just turned up that bitch.
Yeah. She's like, I'll stay here.
So a couple more to get caught up. I was like bored and I didn't want to like read. And so I caught up on that.
Felt yeah. Good. I like the latest episode.
Cool.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some extra time.
Oh God.
You want to play some more Comic Duel?
Yes.
All right. Close your eyes real quick.
This is the game that we made up. Comic Duel. It's like Wordle, but not really. It's more like Framed, which is that one where you see a frame of a movie and you have to try and guess what the movie is. But this one's for comics. Daniel's going to show me a comic book panel from a book that we've read on the show. And I have to guess what it is based off what the panel is.
All right, Nathan. What is this from?
Okay, this is Black Bolt yelling at a Venom dinosaur. Or yeah, he's using his powers against a Venom dinosaur and disintegrating it. And this is from Old Man Logan.
Very good, very good.
Steve McNiven art.
Correct.
Okay, this is Sunstone.
Mm-hmm,
and I know because the lettering was pretty fun. Art by Steven Subject.
Stepan Sedgwick,
yeah. This is one of my favorite panels I've ever read. I tried to buy the original art for this.
Oh, we weren't fast enough.
And I wasn't fast enough. But this is the Ant-Man book that we read, art by Tom Riley. It's the panel where the ants are trying to explain to Janet that Hank's in trouble. And they try and spell help, but they spell Halep. And I think it's really funny.
They don't really know English.
Yeah, they're like, Hank's in danger.
Yeah.
Oh, easy one. The best probably kiss in comics.
Potentially.
It's New Frontier. And that's Hal Jordan kissing Carol Ferris.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Darwin Cook.
Yep.
This is the best panel of Sin City. And it's Marv.
In the rain.
Like a really weird silhouette. Where he just looks like a semicircle with a frowny face.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
This is my favorite.
If you want to see these, if you're an audio listener, you can go to the YouTube. There's probably going to be a time code for it.
Yep.
This is from Deadpool's wedding. There's a weird annual where they go back in time.
This wasn't the annual. This is like the issue like before the wedding, I guess, or
it was,
something.
Regardless, it was not a wedding issue.
Yeah.
It was a time travel story where Hitler kills a time traveler trying to kill him and he time travels himself. And then this is when they returned Hitler to fake a suicide, but he's clearly just riddled with bullets.
Yeah.
One of the most bizarre like single issues I feel like we've ever read.
Artist?
I don't know who it was for this specific one because they had like a bunch of artists on this.
This one was Scott Kolish.
It was?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Look it up.
I will.
I think it was Deadpool number 26. Just know that I'm right.
Okay, fine. Okay. This is from the Shazam book by Jeff Smith. This is a cat. That's all that's important about this panel. This is from John Wick.
How do you know it's from John Wick?
Because the background's really lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is during like a flashback.
It's got a blurred background.
It's like a blurred background, which I am not a big fan of. And this is like a flashback point where the three bills. The three bills were, I don't know, killing John Wick's family or something.
Just people
that he knows, yeah.
El Paso or wherever.
This is from Blue and Gold. This is when Booster Gettle. Blue Beetle is riding a dinosaur to hurt the Black Beetle. The artist is Ryan Sook, I'm pretty sure, on this one.
Pop quiz, what dinosaur is that?
This is a Stegosaurus.
No, it's not.
This is a T-Rex.
Stegosaurus.
Isn't it a Brontosaurus?
No, that's the one with the long neck.
No, that's a Stegosaurus.
No, that's the one with the spikes on its spine.
Is that not what that is?
Think about how many horns it has.
A Pentasaurus.
You just have five horns, dude.
One, two, three, four, five. The
cheek ones don't count.
Those are horns.
All right, so minus two.
Triceratops.
Oh, like you're right.
Oh, it says right there.
Yeah, dude.
God damn it.
Come on.
I should have just read.
Read a book.
I should have read the prompt. This is Ugly John in the book New X-Men, which is by Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely.
Yeah, and then Handsome Squidward, and Cyclops.
Handsome Squidward, Cyclops. That is like the pan. That's like the first panel you see a Cyclops, and I'm like, why does he look like Handsome Squidward?
Yeah, I put like a picture of Handsome Squidward in the, is it not that one episode. To one? Absolutely, the same thing.
That's what I thought of immediately.
Frank Quitely was biting SpongeBob.
He certainly was. Ooh, this could be a tough one if you're not a seasoned reader.
And
we didn't read this last week. Yeah, but this is from Southern Bastards when Earl Tubb gets hurt and someone calls him on his phone. But it's just like the panel of someone calling him. So this I think this would be like the great starting one.
Yeah.
If we did do this.
I'd be like, fuck, I don't know.
They'd be like, oh, man. And then we see Earl Tubb later.
Yeah. But that's it. Good job, Nathan.
Thank you.
You're 10 for 10.
10 for 10.
You're playing like ass last time you did that.
Well, to be fair, you were pulling from like 100 separate episodes.
We did not do 100 episodes because those were
100%
only...
100% we did.
Those are only from the YouTube era. We've only been doing that for a year.
Okay.
So it was like something like 20 or something.
Probably more than that, but anyway.
But anyway, that is the show. Actually, what do we read next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next?
You're making us read The Nice House on the Lake.
Correct, because Sarah is going to be coming on the show as a like semi-birthday gift. Mm-hmm. She only comes on for my birthday.
Yep.
And so I'm...
The only time you ever have leverage.
Exactly. And so I try to pick stuff that I think she'll like. I read the first issue of Nice House on the Lake by James Tynion. I didn't realize it was a Black Label book. I thought it was Boom.
Yeah, I mean...
So anything, it counts as DC.
Anything that would normally be like Vertigo... Now is just Black Label.
Right. And so that's cool. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be reading that.
Should be pretty good.
Yep.
So that's the show.
Go like, comment, subscribe.
On the YouTube.
Go check out everything in the link tree. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Yep. You can email us at traderspod@gmail.com. Let us know if you were 10 for 10 on Comic Dole.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Bye.